Hey there, future friends! This week, music makes us remember, we pop a squatch in the forest, and we fight like some dirty rabble-rousers. This is the week of April 19th, 2024, and you are listening to episode 309 of Future Flicks with Billiam. Everyone, welcome to the show. This is Future Flicks with Billiam, and on this show I do a few things, so let me tell you what it is I do. I talk about all of the movies coming out during the week, and I tell you about them. What do I say, you may be asking? Well, good thing you asked. I am here with an answer. I break all the films up into two categories. The first category is the limited releases, and in that section I tell you what the movie is, what it's about, who's in it, and then maybe I give a thought or two, but other than that, that is it. These movies did nothing to catch my eye. It doesn't necessarily mean they're bad, but I am one who believes that trailers are how movies sell themselves. So if your trailer, your cast, and your premise don't sell me on a film, I am not going to put much stock into it until, you know what, I start hearing some buzz about it. In the next section, the wide releases and interesting indies. That's every wide release, no matter how good or bad it looks. And then all of the limited releases that did catch my eye. In that section, I tell you what the movie is, what it's about, and who's in it. Then I definitely give you my thoughts on it. And then I wrap that all up with a score, which I call the Billiam's Interest Level Score, aka the Bill Score. That can go anywhere from a 0 for those awful-looking films to an 11 for those films that make me oh so happy to be a movie fan. And yes, it's just a 1 through 10 with an 11 for those movies that just get me a little more excited. If you know what I mean. Wink. No porn on Future Flicks with Billiam. Then I give you a pick of the week, which I say, hey friends, if you see one movie in theaters this week, this is what it should be. But my friends, now that you know what the show is about, let's jump into the limited releases with a film called Dusk for a Hitman. In the late 1970s, the most feared hitman in the Montreal underworld, Donald Laveau, found himself hunted down by his former accomplices and by a tenacious police officer. This stars no one of note and is a movie from Canada and is directed by Raymond St. John. And does Montreal have an underworld? Forgive me, any Canadians listening to this. I've just always viewed Canada as this like super nice place where everyone's kind, you get health care, and it's just cold sometimes. Next up is a movie called 6 Hours Away. It follows ex-Marine Chris Montano after his wife goes missing during a business trip. He then finds himself in a race against time to save her. Maybe she's 6 hours away. Who knows? This stars no one of note and is directed by Nicholas de Blasi. After that, we have a movie called Little Empty Boxes. A filmmaker chronicles his mother's mysterious dementia, searches for answers behind illnesses, finding lifestyle and diet choices from decades prior play a role, raw perspective of her deterioration, and a son trying to save her. This is a documentary directed by Max Legavre and Chris Newhard. This would be pretty cool, but part of the trailer that really bothered me was the finding lifestyle and diet choices from decades prior play a role, because part of the trailer is this guy going down this aisle in a grocery store where there's a bunch of cereal, and he says something like, here's where there's all this so-called food. It's like, let's not food shame people, you pompous twat, okay? I'll tell you what, I am very sorry to hear about this guy's mother's dementia, but I guarantee you Cheerios did nothing to cause that. You know what I hate? It's those food fear-mongering a-holes all over TikTok like Bobby and those other sacks of shit. It's just like, come on. It's hard enough for some people to exist, let alone being shamed for buying what they can afford. So don't be a dick. Next up is a movie called Stress Positions. I'm a cashier. That's a stress position. Ba-doom-sh. Terry, in strict quarantine in his ex-husband's Brooklyn home, cares for his injured nephew, a 19-year-old Moroccan model named Baloul, drawing attention from everyone in his life. This stars John Early from Search Party and is directed and co-written and co-starring Theda Hamill. To be fair, this movie does have promise. It could be really good. It could be very poignant, very emotional, very meaningful. But the trailer just really didn't sell me on it. I was just kind of bored watching it. So in a perfect world, it's one of those cases of a boring trailer. But let's move on. We have a few more movies to talk about in this section. Let's talk about Blood for Dust. This is limited and VOD. Cliff, a traveling salesman drowning under the weight of providing for his family and the myth of the American dream, finds himself on a dangerous path after a chance encounter with Ricky, a colleague from a dark past. This stars Scoot McNairy, who has a f***ing awesome name, from Argo, Josh Lucas from Sweet Home Alabama, Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, Stephen Dorff from Blade, and Ethan Suplee from Remember the Titans, and My Name is Earl, but Remember the Titans. I actually forgot how many great things Ethan Suplee has been in until I traveled through his IMDb, and he's pretty damn great. I really like this cast, but this trailer just, once again, did nothing for me. And let's talk about the next film, Three Musketeers, Part 2, Milady. That's actually the name, I'm not making a joke. Part 2, Milady. D'Artagnan is forced to join forces with Milady to save Constance, who was kidnapped before his eyes. But as war is declared, and Athos, Porthos, and Aramis have already joined the front, a secret from the past shatters old alliances. This is a movie from France and stars François Civil from As Above, So Below, Vincent Cassel from Black Swan. I f***ing love Vincent Cassel. Romain Duris from All the Money in the World. Sorry if I purposefully put accents on names that don't need accents. Eva Green from Casino Royale. Louis Garrel from the 2019 Little Women. Vicky Kripes from Old. And Lina Kodry from The French Dispatch. This is directed by Martin Bourboulon, who did Eiffel, and The Three Musketeers Part 1, D'Artagnan. So my friends, this is part of a trilogy, a Three Musketeers trilogy, and I do think this looks pretty badass. I think this is the kind of movie you should watch when they're all out, and you can stream them, or just, if hell, buy them and watch them back to back to back. Because a three-part Three Musketeers movie, if it stays close to the book, it's been a long time since I've seen any Three Musketeers movie, and I've never read the book. So I have no idea how much of this plot is in the book. But if they stay close to the book, and they do it in three parts, I think this could be really badass. I'm keeping my eye on this, and I think you should too. Two more movies, my friends. The first is called Wildfire, The Legend of the Cherokee Ghost Horse. Inspired by the hit song by Michael Martin Murphy. Hit song, huh? Okay. Wildfire tells the story of redemption and forgiveness as a young girl releases a dark secret through the friendship she develops with a wild horse. This stars Anne Heche from 6 Days and 7 Nights. This is her second to last movie. She passed away 2 years ago, and we still have two movies from her. So Anne Heche, Mo Brings Plenty from Yellowstone, Adrian Paul from Highlander, the TV show, he played Duncan, Kara Jade Myers from Killers of the Flower Moon, and starring newcomer Chevelle Shepherd, and this is directed by Eric Parkinson. Horse Girls, you have a movie! Here it is. Hell, if you're a horse girl with taste, you probably won't even want to watch this movie. It just looks stupid, and aren't we past this now? Just the idea of a Cherokee ghost horse just sounds so disrespectful. Like, who knows, maybe the movie can handle it well, but I just sure hope this Mo Brings Plenty from Yellowstone, who's in this film, is not playing some stereotype. Like, there's this guy I follow on TikTok. I think he's hilarious. Goes by Eagle Blackbird, and he has this so far 9-part series of teaching his white friend how to be native. And that's what I fear this movie is going to be, is just this caricature. But let's end that and talk about the final movie in the limited releases, and that's called Villains Incorporated. After the death of their boss, Beatrix, Kane, and Harold are left destitute, living in an abandoned grocery store. Beatrix is determined that they will fight on their own and take over the world by any means necessary. This stars Mallory Everton and Jason Gray from Studio C, and Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway, and directed by Jeremy Warner from Studio C. Studio C is a show on BYU TV. So basically, like, probably Whose Line, but they don't talk about sex or drugs or caffeine. You know, because Mormons. I would love to support this film. I would love to be stoked for this because I love Colin Mockery, but it looks like hot garbage and skippable by any means. My future friends, that is it for the first segment of the show. Let us take our break and hear a word from our friends at the Somewhat Nerdy Radio Podcast, and We're Doing Fine with Robbie and Lisa. Please stay tuned.
Are you looking for a nerd podcast that touches on every walk of nerd culture? Well, look no further. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is the podcast for you. We cover nerd culture, news, new movie reviews, bad movie reviews, video games, comics, with sprinkles of nerdy nostalgia throughout. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is a flagship podcast of the Somewhat Nerdy Podcast Network. Find us on every podcast app or stream it on somewhatnerdy.com. Good journey, nerds.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Robbie. And we host a show called
We're Doing Fine. We're friends from across the ocean.
I'm from Scotland.
And I'm from California.
Join us every week as we chat about biscuits.
You mean cookies.
Brexit.
Whatever's going on here. Who knows?
Almost dying.
Why we're single.
Popular culture.
And basically everything and anything that can distract us from this postmodern hellscape we're all living in. Because
we're doing fine.
We're back. We're back with the first movie, which is a limited release. And the only limited release to make it into this section is called Hard Miles. A prison social worker assembles a cycling team of teenage convicts and takes them on a transformative 1,000-mile ride. This is inspired by the life of Greg Townsend and the Ridgeview Academy cycling team. This stars Matthew Modine from Cutthroat Island. Do you remember Cutthroat Island with Gina Davis, the pirate movie? Yeah, it was great. Cynthia K. McWilliams from Bosch. Jaquin Gilroy from Black Lightning. Jackson Kelly from the TV show Chucky. Leslie David Baker from The Office. Sean Astin from The Goonies. And this also stars Damian Diaz and Zachary T. Robbins as the other two kids. Directed by R.J. Daniel Hanna. So when I was first, when this trailer first started, I was scared that it was one of those like super Christian movies that was made to go into a church somewhere or something like that, where the message is always the same. Like through our faith, we can do anything, which is, it's great if you believe that, but it makes for a boring movie. I'm sorry, but it's not. It is based on a true story of this guy who works with these kids out of juvie. And he says, hey, what if we made them ride a damn bicycle to the Grand Canyon for a total of 1,000 miles? 1,000 miles. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, I would walk 500 miles. I could even walk 500 more. But that would only be to fall down at some woman's door. My wife, hopefully. Was that an awkward Proclaimers joke? Yes, it was. You're welcome. That song is 36 years old. Sorry that we're old. But yes, I do like movies like this. It gives me the vibes of something like Dangerous Minds or Only the Strong or the Substitute. Kind of like that, but a little more inspiring, where we have this guy who believes in these kids and he says, I know, bicycling, obviously. But that being said, this movie looks good, but not great. Something to keep your eye out for, but I don't really feel the need to go out and see this in the theaters. But if I ever see it at my local library or if it's ever on streaming, I might just check it out because I do like Matthew Modine. I was never a fan of The Office, but Leslie David Baker, in some of the few scenes I've seen of The Office, has made me laugh. And come on, Sean Astin, goat. Sean Astin is a goat. So this movie, Hard Miles, gets a 6.5 out of 11. My feature friends, up next is a Netflix original movie called Rebel Moon, Part 2, The Scar Giver. Korra, not the Avatar, the other Korra, and her surviving warriors prepare to defend Vild, their new home, alongside its people against the realm. The warriors face their pasts, revealing their motivations before the realm's forces arrive to crush the growing rebellion. This stars Sophia Boutella from Star Trek Beyond, Charlie Hunnam from Pacific Rim, Ed Skrine from Deadpool, Jenna Maloney from The Neon Demon, Carrie Elwes from The Princess Bride, Michael Huisman from The Haunting of Hill House, Jimin Honsu from Amistad, Bae Donna from Sense8, Corey Stoll from Midnight in Paris, and featuring the voice of Anthony Hopkins. Yes, this is part two of that Zack Snyder movie that disappointed a lot of people with the first part, because apparently you could tell it's all leading up to something else, that nothing really happens in the first one. I don't know. I didn't see it. I was not interested in Rebel Moon. And apparently you can totally tell it was originally supposed to be a Star Wars movie, but they dropped it. I still don't have any interest in this. I may watch it eventually, just because my wife is traveling back home for a little bit and I'll be on my own. And when I'm on my own, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with too much freedom. I don't get it. So I may watch this then, but I'm just not excited. I even watch a trailer, and I love sci-fi. If you know me, or if you've ever listened to the show before, you'll know that I love sci-fi. However, this trailer really did nothing for me, and maybe I'll watch both of them back to back when this comes out, or, you know, next month. But right now, I just don't care. And because of that, it gets a 6.5 out of 11. After that, my friends, we have a movie, the first nationwide release, first of two. This is called Abigail. After a group of criminals kidnap the ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, they retreat to an isolated mansion, unaware that they're locked inside with no normal little girl. This stars Dan Stevens from The Guest. Did I say that weird? Dan? Whatever. Catherine Newton from Freaky. Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad. Matthew Good from Watchmen. Melissa Barrera, Justice for Melissa Barrera, from Scream 5, Angus Cloud from Euphoria, and as Abigail, Alicia Weir from Matilda the Musical. So yes, if you saw the trailer, you'd know what this is about. These criminals kidnap this girl as like a, hey, give us money and we'll give you your daughter back kind of situation. But guess what? Guess what? She is not a normal kid. She is some sort of vampire monster thing, and now they have to survive her. And so even though I like this cast, I generally like Dan Stevens and Catherine Newton, Giancarlo Esposito, all of them, when I watch this film, because I will watch this eventually, I don't think I'll go to theaters for it unless my wife wants to see it, but I'll have to remember when I do eventually watch this that they are bad guys. They are kidnapping a little girl. And so when they get murked, maybe it's not going to be the worst thing in the world. Maybe we will root for the little girl. Maybe we'll root for Abigail as opposed to the others, even though this is a very likable cast. Though I'm not familiar with Angus Cloud, I don't watch Euphoria. The whole premise, not the premise, I don't know much about the show, but just the first trailer I saw for it gave me the ick, so I wasn't really interested. But this doesn't look bad. This is one of those horror movies where they're trapped in some place and they have to try and survive. Will they survive? I don't know. Because that could very well leave it open for a sequel, right? None of them survive. And then the dad comes and gets the kid. And then a sequel could happen. If someone survives, my money's on Catherine Newton because she's the most likable out of this group. But we'll see. Abigail looks like it could be a good time. And it looks big and flashy enough that if you saw it on the big screen, I don't think it'd be a waste of the big screen. I think it'd be a good time. However, I don't think this would suffer on a small screen. Abigail gets a 7.5 out of 11. Now, my future friends, a movie I mentioned last week coming out this week. It got limited theatrical release last week. Now it's coming out on Hulu. It's actually already out now by the time I'm recording this. It's called The Greatest Hits. A love story centering on the connection between music and memory and how they transport us, sometimes literally. This stars Lucy Boynton from Sing Street, a fantastic movie if you haven't seen it. David Cornsweet from Pearl, another great movie. Justin H. Min from After Yang, which I haven't seen yet. Retta from Parks and Rec, I didn't watch Parks and Rec. And Austin Crew from Booksmart, yet another great film. I tagged this film early on. When I first saw the trailer, I knew it was going to be right up my alley. I like romances. I like things like this. It kind of gives me the vibes of About Time, that movie with Domhnall Gleeson and Rachel McAdams and Bill Nye, one of my favorite films. It gives me that vibe because we have this woman and her boyfriend of, I don't know how long they're together, but her boyfriend is dead. He has passed away in an auto accident. And she has found that certain songs, when she listens to them, will transport her back in time so she can talk to him again. And so she's trying to correct the past. Nothing she has tried has worked so far. And she keeps going through all of these records that he had to try and find the songs that trigger memories. But also, in the real world, she meets someone that she likes. But she's torn because she likes this new guy, but there's a chance she could change the past, right? Question mark? So this movie is about the past, but then also when you need to look towards the future again. And that is a question I bet none of us ever want to answer. We never want to be put in this situation. Lord knows I never do. Because it's so easy to sit back and judge. It's so easy to sit back and either go, oh yeah, girl, move on. Or say, no, you love him. You know, pine for him. Be this widow for the rest of your life. And it's easy for us to say what we would do, but do we know what we would do? Really? I don't know. Besides being crushed beyond belief and turned into a sniveling mess, and being a hermit for the rest of my life, and all of my friends would have kids, and they'd know me as Weird Uncle Bill. No, I don't know anything beyond that. But I think this movie looks good because it looks like it's going to punch you in the feelings. Like, did you watch About Time? If you did, you know that scene with Domhnall Gleeson and Bill Nye when they go to the beach. And oh, God, it gets me emotional thinking about that. And this movie has that potential to do that again. This movie looks like it could be sad and beautiful. There's a movie that came out last year that my wife and I watched, and it utterly destroyed her. And I thought it was really good too. Called The Good Grief with Dan Levy and Ruth Negga. And oh, I can do this. I can remember his name. He's in Dracula Untold. He's in the Fast and the Furious series. He came out in real life. Luke Evans. Oh God, my head hurts. Oh, wow. Okay. That was a really good film, but I think this is going to be a little more lighthearted than that, but it's going to be the same idea of grief and moving on. So it may not be for everyone, but I think this looks really good, especially because it's available right now if you have Hulu or Disney Plus. The Greatest Hits gets an 8 out of 11. My friends, it is time for the weirdest movie that I have talked about since Hundreds of Beavers. Do you remember Hundreds of Beavers? Fun fact, if you have any interest in watching that, it's now available on video on demand, so you can check that out. But the weirdest movie since Hundreds of Beavers, this movie has been previously released on a small release, and now it's expanding. It's called Sasquatch Sunset, A Year in the Life of a Unique Family. It captures the daily life of the Sasquatch, with a level of detail and rigor that is simply unforgettable. This stars Jesse Eisenberg from Now You See Me, Riley Keough from Logan Lucky, and Nathan Zeller from Rooster Teeth fame. Directed by Nathan and David Zellner, Nathan directed 2018's Damsel, and David directed Kumiko the Treasure Hunter, which got a re-release a couple weeks back. So yeah, it's about Sasquatches. And yes, if you did not tell me, like if they did not list these names, Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough, I would never have known it was them. They are in full Sasquatch makeup. And it just looks like not even a documentary, just a camera is floating around following these Sasquatches. This looks so strange, but oddly beautiful. too, that it really has caught my eye. Some of my friends are big fans of Rooster Teeth, like my friend Walker, huge fan of Rooster Teeth. And wasn't there some news about them recently? Didn't the company that bought them decide to do away with it? But I don't know. Anyway, this looks weird. And it's the kind of weird that I'm here for. It's not the kind of weird where you're sitting back and it feels like they're too try-hard about it, like it's very disingenuous. This looks like the right kind of weird. Does this kind of look like a feature-length Jack Lynx commercial? Kind of. But it also looks like it could be very memorable. Sasquatch Sunset gets an 8 out of 11. But future friends, it is time for my pick of the week. And you knew what it was, right? You knew what it was. It's the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. This is a nationwide release. The British military recruits a small group of highly skilled soldiers to strike against German forces behind enemy lines during World War II. This stars Henry Cavill from Man of Steel, Alan Richson from Reacher, Alex Pettyfer from Magic Mike, Isaac Gonzalez from Baby Driver, Babs Olusamokun from Dune Part 1 and 2, Carrie Elwes from Saw, Hero Finds Tiffin from After, and Henry Golding from Crazy Rich Asians. This is directed, say it with me, by Guy Ritchie, who you would know from such films as Sherlock Holmes, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, War, Wrath of Man. So I'm a Guy Ritchie fan. I am. I really liked Wrath of Man. Like, I'll be honest, when the movie came out, I 100% skipped it in theaters. 100%. And it was one of those movies I watched on a plane when I went to Wales. And damn, if I did not actually quite like it. Because what you have to remember about Guy Ritchie is his style. And what you have to remember about me is I'm not as smart as other movie creators, movie content creators out there. So I don't know all these fancy terms and stuff. I didn't get a lot of book learning done, if you know what I mean. So forgive me if this sounds a little pedestrian, but we know Guy Ritchie because he usually has these kind of like darker movies, but also like the kind of the filter he uses is a little grungier. Movies featuring very macho men, but not like overly grotesque macho, like a wrestler or something. Like, grotesque is the wrong word, but you know what I mean. But macho in the sense that they're cool guys, basically. Think exactly like Robert Downey Jr. in Sherlock Holmes. Exactly like the kind of character always played by Jason Statham. That kind of just smooth, charismatic, badass motherfucker. And the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare looks like it's going to lean more towards Sherlock Holmes and less towards Wrath of Man, where there's going to be a little more comedy in it. And by a little, I mean a lot. This is kind of an action comedy, like a period piece action comedy. A romedy? War? Raction romedy? Retro? But whatever portmanteau I can figure out, I'll come up with something later, but war movie, action movie, comedy. There's no one better for this than Henry Cavill because he is so charismatic. He is so handsome and he can disappear into a role. Even though I did have issues with Man of Steel, I loved Henry Cavill as Superman. I think he did a fantastic job. And unfortunately, he was cast in the ill-fated DC universe before it was rebooted. I bet this new guy, I forgot who it is again, but I bet this new guy is going to do a great job. But Henry fucking Cavill is amazing. He's one of the main reasons I wanted to see Argyle, but also, let's be honest, John Cena and Sam Rockwell. I won't get into that film. That's a completely different film, but it did have a great cast. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is a safe movie to watch in theaters, let's be perfectly honest. And Guy Ritchie is one of those directors that you know where you stand with him, you know where you stand with Quentin Tarantino, you know where you stand with Greta Gerwig, Taika Waititi, with all of these directors that have a style, that have things they like to do, you know where you stand on them. Do you like Guy Ritchie films? If yes, go see this. It looks good. Is Guy Ritchie a hit or miss director for you? Or also, do you not like Guy Ritchie stay home. This is so easy. Because with directors like this, they are very reliable to keep doing the things that they do. So I can go on and on and on about how great I think this movie looks, but if you don't like Guy Ritchie, there's nothing I can say. I don't think there's anything I can say that could change your mind. So my friends, for me, in my opinion, this is the movie to see this week, but I think there are other really good things that you could watch. You can watch The Greatest Hits and stay home. You could look for some weird squatching. So, okay, I forgot to mention this. I think it was on the History Channel, and I did air quotes when I said History Channel, because that's some bullshit. But they have that reality show about finding the Sasquatches. And I remember watching this commercial that made me laugh out loud about how ridiculous those motherfuckers are. And it was a night shot, and there's some roar in the background, and this guy whispers, "I hear a squatch." It's like, you fucking hear a what? A what? A what was that? Anyway, stupid story. But yes, there's plenty of good movies to watch this week. Anything from Rebel Moon, if you liked the first one. Anything, I think, would be a good pick. Greatest Hits, Abigail, let's watch it. There's something for you to watch if Guy Ritchie is not your jam. But if he is your jam, check this film out. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare gets an 8.5 out of 11. Well, my future friends, that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to check out my TikTok, Billiam the Nerd. I have broken 100 viewers. Thank you. I'm well on my way to a million now. You know, just 999,885, if I'm being precise. That's how far away I am from a million. So, you know, nothing. But yeah, check out my TikTok. I talk about movies there as well. I post a few times a week. Ideally, I'd like to do it at least 4 to 5 times a week, but sometimes I turn into a lazy piece of crap. But yes, check out my TikTok. Thank you for checking this show out. Be sure to check out the Friends of the Show, the Somewhat Nerdy Radio Podcast, and We're Doing Fine with Robbie and Lisa. Please share this show. That's how we grow. And be sure to give me a like, rate me on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you can. And my future friends, please remember that no matter where life takes you, no matter what your week has in store, just take some time to catch a flick. I'm Billiam from Somewhat Nerdy signing off, and I'll see you in the future.